Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, broadcasting for you absolutely live each and every week at this time from central London on Press TV. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why I need your SMS, I need your email, but above all, I need your telephone calls to the numbers coming up on the screen throughout the show. Well, it's been mass murder, murder most foul in the Holy Land at Christmas time. Some things never change, but they occasionally get much, much worse. And the killing of hundreds of people within 72 hours and the maiming of thousands of people on top of years of siege, sanction and quarantine has really left the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip at breaking point. And what's even more, if anything, even more disgusting is the failure of the world's leaders, including the world's Arab leaders, to do anything about it. That'll be the big subject tonight, but we're taking calls, emails and SMSs on anything you like. And you can do that up here on the comment wall. When we get an SMS or a comment of any kind, it's up here, and we want your name and your country up here on the comment wall. We have them from all over the world. People are watching this on one platform or another, so we want to hear from you on the comment wall. And we have actually a telephone call more quickly than usual, and I think it's from Egypt. Yes, hello caller. Hello. Ah, he's from Essex. I thought it said Egypt. Go ahead, my friend. Go ahead.
Hello, that must be me, George.
That's you, my friend.
Okay.
Not Egypt, but Essex.
That's the one. I'm an Essex boy.
Thanks.
My name is Peter. A very happy new year to you.
And, thank you.
Let's hope things start to get a little bit better in the Gaza Strip for the poor Palestinians. We've heard it all before. We've seen what the Israelis are capable of, George. And not only does it sicken me, but most of the world it sickens. And something has to be done, really, really has to be done.
Well, there's not much sign of it. That's the problem. The Arab League washed their hands of the whole affair, handing it over to the Security Council, which means handing it over to the veto of the United States. The United States vetoed a draft resolution calling for a ceasefire at the weekend, and it has disappeared into the sand. And the foreign minister of Israel said on the steps of the Elysee in Paris this day that, and I quote her, there is no humanitarian disaster in Gaza. Well, the whole world can see the humanitarian disaster on their television sets, Peter. I mean, it's truly extraordinary how Israel can get away with crimes that absolutely no one else would. Thanks for kicking us off from not Egypt, but Essex. Let's go to the comment wall now and take an email. This one is from Sydney, Australia. I told you they come from all over. Aga. Abu Mazen is defending inexcusable actions of Egypt's tyrant dictator Hosni Mubarak. Gazans, rise up and defend your rights, your dignity, and most of all, free your occupied land. People of the world is with you and time is right, so keep up the fierce defense as those Zionists are cowards. Well, it's not the people of Gaza who have to rise up. It's not the people of Gaza who have to be stiffened in their resolve to resist occupation. They have been doing so at the cutting edge and in the avant-garde. The problem is everybody else except the people of Gaza, and especially in the Arab world. It's inconceivable to me that the Arab world can sleep through this kind of carnage. Let's take a call from Zach in Cambridge. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hello, good evening, George.
Good evening. Go ahead, sir.
I've got a point to make and a question. My point is that I've seen throughout the media that they refer to these problems as problems or killings in Gaza. But don't you think it's better if we say Palestine?
Yes.
That's the point, yeah. But my question is that the war and the killings that you're seeing going on in Palestine, and because I have studied about the Second World War, and I have seen all those conspiracy theories and everything, do you not think that in the Middle East, the Zionist plan is the exploitation of the Arab countries, and we can see beyond Palestine their expansion and their influence?
No, I don't think that they intend to expand anywhere else. They've got the one hell of a job trying to hold on to what they've got. I don't expect them to territorially expand their influence and their economic hegemony. Well, they could have done that a long time ago if they'd made peace with the Palestinians, if they'd delivered, for example, and implemented the Oslo Agreement. They could already be the dominant economic power, at least in the Levant, and perhaps much more widely in the Arab world. So they are not acting rationally, even from the standpoint of protecting the interests of the Jewish people who are living there, never mind the Palestinian people who are crushed. The point that you make about Gaza is correct. We should say that this is mass murder in Palestine, in the Holy Land, as I put it earlier, because Gaza is just a small part of a big problem. The problem which has left millions of Palestinians scattered around the globe as refugees and whose needs and interests are not being catered for in the kind of talks that go on periodically from time to time. And, of course, the people in the West Bank also. Thanks, Zach, from Cambridge. Let's go back to the comment wall and take another email this time. And it's from Ethiopia. Burhanuddin, Gaza is being bombed into oblivion. Concerning the incidents in Gaza, do you think that Mr. Hosni Mubarak of Egypt and Mahmoud Abbas of Palestine have committed treason against the Muslim Ummah in general and the Palestinians in particular? Please tell us what you think a traitor should deserve. Well, I certainly don't think that Mahmoud Abbas, for all the many, many differences of opinion that I have with him, can be described as a traitor. Certainly can't be compared with President Hosni Mubarak, who has maintained the siege of Gaza and strangled the life out of his fellow Arabs. I won't say co-religionists, because I don't really rate Hosni Mubarak as any kind of Muslim leader, and I don't think many people in Egypt do either. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an SMS this time from Kashmir, Faiz Ahmed. Why injustice, hate, discrimination only with Muslims? Muslims are being killed in Palestine, Afghanistan, Kashmir, Iraq, etc. Why are Muslims labeled as terrorists? Is Muslim blood so cheap that it is being washed away? Well, it's a very powerful point, Faiz, that you make. Undoubtedly, most of the bombs that are falling in the world today are falling on Muslims, and most of those who are dropping them are not Muslims. But the history proves that whoever stands up against the domination of the big imperial powers who wish to occupy and exploit everywhere on the earth can be guaranteed that kind of bombardment. The Vietnamese people were killed in their millions in the 60s and the 70s. They were not Muslims, but like Muslims today, they stood up against the behemoth of American imperialism. Here's another email, this time on the comment wall. Let's see where this one's from. Abdelhamid Bouzian in Algeria. Do you think it's time for the Arab people to topple their puppet presidents? Well, I've often said on here that almost without exception, from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf, the Arab countries are ruled by puppet presidents or corrupt kings. And from time to time, they manage to pass their power on, but always their power is at the disposal of the big imperial powers. So, either these Arab leaders have got to change, or the Arabs have got to change their leaders. Otherwise, 21st century Arab world will be just as miserable as the 20th century was. I've got no idea if it's going to change, but if it doesn't change, then misery, blood, tears, and toil is bound to follow. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS from England. $4 million a year is the Israeli army budget. That must be billion, I'm sure. This is a wake-up call for all the wealthy Arab companies to stop trading with Israel so they cannot use revenue against our Palestinian people. People like us should boycott all Israeli products. For example, Marks and Spencer's, which is run by Zionists. That's actually quite an important mistake that I have to correct. Marks and Spencer's is not run by Zionists. It may well have been founded by Zionists, but Marks and Spencer's is a publicly quoted company on the London Stock Exchange, and it's owned by its shareholders, the vast majority of whom wouldn't even know what you meant by the word Zionist. We must boycott all Israeli products, that's for sure. But don't confuse that with shops that have Jewish-sounding names. That would be a big mistake. Let's take a telephone call. This one is from where? Yes, caller.
Yes, hello. This is Bia calling from Norway.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yes. My comments here this evening is that I particularly being calling from Norway, I don't want to blame Israel. My comments, my blame is mainly on three countries today. I'm going to talk about them. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. These three countries have become the enemy of Islam war. I get my point. The Egyptian government has refused to open the borders for humanitarian medicines, food, wounded to be out of Gaza and in Gaza. The Jordan's parliament has sought that they should close the Israeli interim sessions in Jordan. The government refused to go by the parliament decisions. In Saudi Arabia, the king has authorized the police people to arrest those peaceful people are demonstrating against the Zionist regime, the killer machine. They have been arrested and put them into jail. Same thing going on in Egypt.
Okay, I think we have your point, and it's a powerful one. The reality is that the Egyptian state is a complicit partner with Israel in this massacre. Zippy Livni, the foreign minister, was actually in Cairo when the bombing of Gaza began. You may have seen the pictures of her virtual embrace, quite embarrassing for Mubarak, I would have thought, of the Egyptian president. That's why I will be outside tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, not the Israeli embassy this time, as I've been every day this week, but outside the Egyptian embassy in London, because we are determined that the Egyptian regime accepts and pays the price for its culpability in this very great crime. But the others, you're right, as I just said, all the Arab rulers, almost without exception, from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf, are all either so weak or so complicit with these great crimes that the only thing the Arabs can do is change them. Let's take a telephone call. Well, I want a call from Norway. I think I may have one after this. I'll be bringing you a program called Comment. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. So join me, 9:36 GMT every week. Comment, Press TV, broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. Now, I hope you think that's a promise that you can depend on from this politician, at least. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS this time, and it's from James Humbe in Nigeria. Why is it not possible for Egypt to open its borders to their Arab brothers in Gaza? Why blame only Israel? Well, James, we've been taking that point on board here this evening. There is no doubt that just as Iraq could not have been besieged but for the Arab countries around about it imposing the siege, so Palestine, in the form of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, could not be suffering in the way that it is if it were not for the collaboration. I use this word, it's a strong word, the collaboration with Israel of these Arab regimes. It's time for all the Arab countries to end so-called normalization with Israel. It's time to end it. It's time to remove the Israeli ambassadors from their capitals and the Israeli security services from their offices in the Arab countries. Well, I finally got a telephone call. Here it is. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hi, George. My name is Arshad, and I'm calling from London.
Very welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. I just wanted to say, you know, thanks for you know, all the hard work you're doing. I'm sure you're going through a lot of problems with those who are you know, who are all for tyranny and causing problems around the world. And you know, the enemy
never sleeps, my dear. The enemy never sleeps.
Of course, yeah. And I hope you know you're striving. You become successful in everything that you do, and I hope you become the next prime minister of this country. But of course, that's something that may not happen in our lifetime. But I just hope you continue doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm going to keep watching your programs, and I hope the best for you. And your family, and hopefully I might even see you someday.
Well, I very much hope so. We have a big demonstration on Saturday, leaving from the embankment, marching to Trafalgar Square Saturday afternoon. Do try and come along. We need the maximum number of people there. I've been demonstrating every day this week, and tomorrow, Friday, we'll be outside the Egyptian embassy at 4 o'clock. But the big one is the march on Saturday from the embankment to Trafalgar Square. We need everyone out. Please spread the news. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS. This one is from the United States, Sharif. Why do we have to witness the cruelty of Israel? And it's time to say enough is enough. As I'm writing this SMS, tears are streaming from my face. The only thing I can do is be angry. And what makes me really mad is the fact that these so-called Arab leaders are acting blind and deaf from the situation their people are in. They are puppets, but God is with the oppressed, and Israel and whoever supports its genocide will someday pay the price. Sharif, you raise a word there, genocide, which is obviously a very sensitive word and one that should be used sparingly. But when you take into account that Zippy Livni said, and I reported it here just in the last week or so, that the Israeli Arabs themselves, the Israeli citizens who are Palestinians, are going to have to see their future outside Israel's borders. That's what she said. This was an open threat of ethnic cleansing, even of the Arabs within Israel itself. In Gaza, we have a situation which is absolutely comparable to the Warsaw Ghetto uprising of the Jews in 1943, when they had the choice between dying quietly of starvation and one by one at the hands of the Nazi occupiers of Poland, or to rise up and die quickly and bloodily in an attempt to try and end this siege, end this occupation. The Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1943 rose up and fought back, reckoning that it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. And they're heroes in history. Why should the Palestinians in Gaza be any different? Now we have a caller from Mozambique, Valid. Welcome, Valid. Thank you very much for calling.
Hello, Father.
Go ahead, sir. It's good great evening to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm talking from Mozambique.
Viva Frelimo! Viva Samora Machel!
Yeah, happy new year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, my dear Father.
Thanks, brother. Go ahead.
Well, but I'm confused in my life. I'm not white people. I'm not Arabic people. Why Arabic people right now they will stay and see Israel and the bombardment Palestinian people? Nobody can stay. But I'll pray. I sought God, my dear Father, when I see one Israel, even 100 million. People there, I will commit a suicide bomb because the people will stay and look at Israel and do everything. They will kill the people in Palestine. The Arabic people will say they can't say anything. Arab Saudi, Egypt, all I see the... Oh, my God.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for the call, Valid, all the way from Mozambique. I just make this point. The British government and the media here are constantly fretting about what they call the radicalization of British Muslims. They refuse visas to the likes of Sheikh Qaradawi. They blame clerics and ban Islamic organizations. How many new radicals do you think have been created in the world by the pictures on our television screens over the last few days coming from Palestine? As I've often said on here, you don't need a cleric or a radical organization to radicalize Muslims in the world. All you need is a television set and the ability to watch the news. So, we will all feel the pain of the radicalization that has been created by this big crime and by the failure of the Western governments to demand that it should halt. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS, this one from Nigeria, Taraba. It's clearly shown that Saudi Arabia isn't representing Muslims, as US clearly supports Zionist Israel for the killing of Palestinians. Well, there's no need to single out Saudi Arabia. They're all more or less the same, with the exception of Syria. They're all more or less the same. Some of them are worse than others. Egypt must be the worst of all, because the people in Gaza are starving because Egypt locked the border. And Egypt locked the border because Israel asked them to lock the border. And the people have been eating from the garbage heaps these last few weeks as a result of Hosni Mubarak. I don't know how he can sleep at night. Let's go back to the comment wall and take another SMS before the break. This one is... We don't know from where these big belly useless Arab leaders have gathered in Cairo and could not even agree on a verbal statement to condemn Israeli crimes. The more I think, the less I can call them human. They were belly dancing in Cairo at the Arab League. That's what they were doing. They were belly dancing. They washed their hands of the blood of the Palestinian people, a sacred cause to all Arabs, to all Muslims, to all believers in the world. Jerusalem is occupied by foreigners. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is blocked by foreigners. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is blocked by foreigners. Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, is ringed by a wall and besieged by soldiers. You cannot move between Jerusalem and Bethlehem in the Holy Land. And these Arab leaders, for their belly dancing Arab League meeting, couldn't even agree a common state. If they had just suggested that oil production should be cut, as Saudi Arabia cut it in 1973, then the oil price would have doubled and Palestine would not be being bombed today. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away. It's me, George Galloway. Back soon. Welcome back to Comment, and a Happy New Year to all our viewers, wherever they're watching, on whatever platform around the world. This is The Big Conversation, The Great Debate, with me, George Galloway, broadcasting to you absolutely live each and every week at this time from Central London on Press TV. We want your SMSs, we want your emails, and above all, we want your telephone calls. Your SMS and emails will appear on this comment wall, as will some of the best political cartoons that our editorial staff have chosen from the past week. And as you can imagine, it has mainly been about Gaza. This is a brilliant one from FarsNews.com, and it is the Israeli bombs falling on Gaza and the Arab leader asleep in his hammock. As a matter of fact, it's worse than that, because the Arab leaders are not just asleep in their hammocks. Some of them are actively collaborating with those who are firing the bombs at their fellow Arabs and co-religionists in Palestine. Thanks for that one. Here's another one coming up. This one from Fars News again. A bit more controversial, this one. The Israeli army holding aloft in the style of Iwo Jima the Nazi flag, whilst the victims, looking very much like the victims of the Nazis, are being trodden underfoot. You can take that comparison too far. The Holocaust was the systematic wiping out of 6 million Jewish people and was an attempt to remove them from the face of the earth. But the Warsaw Ghetto comparison is a very real one. So there are increasing echoes of Nazi practice in what's happening in Gaza. Let's take another one. I think we've got three or four to get through. This one from Carlos Latouf, a regular of ours in Latin America. He has the Palestinian child running with an empty plate and a bomb with the swastika on the end of it. I don't myself approve of this kind of association, but the fact that more and more of it is happening is because more and more people are getting more and more angry and aggrieved at what's happening. This is a brilliant one from Carlos Latouf, absolutely brilliant. Here's the Arab League, not belly dancing, as I perhaps cruelly put it, but playing backgammon with their fire engine sitting idly by, whilst Uncle Sam and the Israeli army set fire to the Palestinian people of Gaza. This is a perfect representation of exactly what happened at the Arab League meeting, which, by the way, should have been held on the first day or the second day of the aggression rather than Thursday. And then when it met on Thursday, it did so only Pontius Pilate-like to wash its hands of the problem. Now, we have a telephone call from my own country of Scotland, from Chris. Let's hear from him. Chris, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
My question basically was that considering all sort of European and we speak of democracy, we speak of like human rights, in the West, and how we implement the idea of freedom and liberty. But yet, when the current situation in Gaza, when this is the situation, and they're implementing, we're not implementing it as we say. So I'm thinking, are we hypocrites or?
Well, we may not be, Chris, but our leaders certainly are. And they are not in favor of freedom and liberty and democracy. Or, for example, they wouldn't be best friends with Saudi Arabia, would they? They wouldn't be arming and financing and giving diplomatic and political protection to the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza for 40 years and the dispersal as refugees of millions of Palestinians over the last 60 years. They would not be calling Israel a democracy when it has wiped another country off the map, scattered its people as refugees, and brutally occupying a section of those people. Our leaders are hypocrites and liars. What about Zippy Livni at the Élysée in Paris today? She said, I saw her lips move and the words come out. She said, there is no humanitarian crisis in Gaza. When everyone from the United Nations to the humblest person watching the television screen knows there's a humanitarian crisis of awesome proportions. Did the French president say, Madame Livni, you're lying when you say there is no humanitarian crisis in Gaza? No, he wouldn't dream of it. Thanks for the call. Here's another call from London. Eric, welcome to the show. Eric, go ahead.
Hello, I'm Ellen from London. I'm just calling regarding Gaza, but taking a little bit of a different perspective, looking at it from the media. I'm just thinking, all these channels such as BBC, CNN, or Fox, they're all saying how they're really open and they look at both sides. All these channels have been interviewing these politicians from Israel who are defending this monstrous thing, the second Holocaust that they're imposing onto Gaza, saying how it's perfectly fine and they're not committing a crime. And nobody is bothering to talk to anybody from Hamas. At the end of the day, Hamas was voted in by the people, was it not?
Indeed, that's so. There are a number of practical problems, Ellen. I apologize for getting your name wrong. There are a number of practical problems. The Hamas leaders are now underground, or at least they should be, and one of them was killed today, along with his wives and children, because he was in his house. It's very difficult to interview leaders of an organization that Israel is trying its best, using the world's most powerful weapons, to try and kill. So that's one problem. The second problem is the Gaza spokespeople that do make it onto the screen invariably are much less polished in their presentation than the Western immigrants to Israel who Israel puts up for the television. There's a man with a South African accent, there's a man with an American accent, there's a man with an English accent, all appealing to the Western point of view. The Gazan, the Palestinian, looks other, he looks alien. The Israeli looks like us and sounds like us. So there's a major public relations problem in terms of the outgunning of the Palestinian argument by the Israeli argument, quite apart from the massive disparity in military power. Let's take another call from Mohammed Shafiq in Manchester. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, George, from a very cold Manchester.
Thanks.
Just want to obviously offer our support and prayers to the people of Gaza under this Nazi-like regime of Israel and the bombardment that they are doing in Gaza, and the absolute silence that there is in the international community. And my friends and everybody in the Ramadan Foundation is absolutely committed to supporting the people in Gaza. And we would actually encourage people to get in touch with their local MPs, with their local politicians, and really put pressure on and try to build a strong lobby that can take the Zionist lobby on.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Mohammed, and do try to get down to the demonstrations, either the local ones in Manchester or the one in London on Saturday, which is marching from the embankment to Trafalgar Square. But the point you make is a very good one. Whenever I'm on the media, the supporters of Israel organize hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of complaints to the broadcaster about the fact that I've been on and what I've been saying. We really have to get our public relations machine up to the same level of sharpness as theirs, because they outgun us here in Britain in that respect also. However, so grotesque is what we're watching that Israel's undoubtedly nonetheless losing the argument. Let's take an SMS on the comment wall, and this one is from, well, we don't know where, but it's, where is the so-called international peace envoy? Shame on you, Tony Blair. Where is the man of change? Shame on you, Barack Obama. Where is the head of the world's most famous academic? Shame on you, Sheikh of Al-Azhar. Where is the so-called Arabic zeal? Shame on all the Arab leaders. Well, the only one of those I could possibly disagree with is the second. Barack Obama is not able to make any comment on the situation in this grave international crisis because he isn't the president of the United States. The United States still has a president. Crawford, Texas has to wait a few days to get its village idiot back. But it could not happen that the president-elect would be making statements which would be different from the president. That would be constitutionally incapable. We should judge Barack Obama when he actually becomes president. He may let us down, but let's at least wait for him to become president. Let's take another call from Shahid in the United Kingdom. Shahid, welcome.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Shahid, and I'm calling from Dewsbury in the UK.
Welcome.
Hi there. First, I'd like to offer our support for all the efforts that you've made in the past, and I hope you carry on with the tremendous efforts in the future.
Thank you, sir.
Right. I have two questions for you. One is specific to AIPAC. In your opinion, how do you believe that AIPAC could be destroyed or weakened in the future? That's the first question. And the second question is that what pragmatic and sustainable solution do you offer to the Palestine and Israel conflict? Because at the end of the day, if Hamas fires a rocket in Israel, then that's quite counterproductive because it results in 50, 60 Gazans being killed. So what pragmatic solution do you offer? Thank you.
Well, on the second point first, my friend, the people in the Warsaw ghetto rose up using their own bodies as weapons because they had nothing left to do. And the same is true in Gaza. The reason why the Gazans are rising up, electing Hamas, firing rockets, using their bodies as weapons is because they have been abandoned by everyone else, including our country, which declares itself the closest friend of Israel in the world. And they're not lying about that, except maybe the United States just shades it. So the Palestinians, under occupation, abandoned, what are they supposed to do? Die quietly of starvation? That wasn't the route chosen by the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto uprising in 1943. And nor should it be the route chosen by the Palestinians in Gaza. The task for the rest of us is to end the situation where that is the only thing that they can do. That means we need to make progress towards freeing Palestine and liberating its land and its people and returning its refugees to their homes. Until we do that, we really aren't in a position to criticize them. As for AIPAC in the United States, I'm going coast to coast and north to south in the United States. In March, I'll be speaking to thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people on that tour. It's called the Palestine Tour. Look out for it. Let's take another call from Mohammed in Luton. Mohammed, welcome.
Hello. Hi, George.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, George. This is Mohammed from London.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just been listening to your comments, and very interesting. Another question I'd like to propose, maybe a bit of a radical one, is don't you think this you touched upon history and the Warsaw, what was going on in 1943. Don't you think Israel is the bogeyman in the Arab territories? And don't you think it is the root of all problems? And maybe if, all the Arab countries united to get back the land that was taken from them, being the permanent solution to this problem, because it's going to continue. It's going to happen, the Palestinians are going to continue fighting for their rights. Israel is going to continue expanding into their land. Shouldn't it just go away? Shouldn't Israel just go away?
Well, I think, Mohammed, you make a powerful point. Chairman Mao Zedong once said to the late President Arafat, the Arabs are not serious about taking Palestine back, because if they were, all 300 million of them could simply march into it and take it back. And, he had a point. The Arab rulers are conspiring, most of them, many of them, with Israel in this big crime. The rest of them, with one exception in Damascus, are actually either conspiring or sitting back and allowing it all to happen. I happen to believe, I didn't always do so, that Palestine will never be free as long as the Arabs remain in chains under their dictatorships. And that's a problem, because that means we need a much bigger change than I originally envisaged. My feeling is that we need a Palestinian state from the river to the sea, democratic, secular, where all Jews, Muslims and Christians can live as equal citizens before the law. Hey, what's wrong with that? Much more after this. I'm George Galloway, and I've argued with some of the most powerful people on the planet. From the US Senate on Capitol Hill, through British Prime Ministers, from Harold Wilson, through Margaret Thatcher, to Gordon Brown and Tony Blair before him. But now, I'd like to argue with you. Here on Press TV, on Comment. You can ask me your question, you can put your point of view. All you have to do is email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Or you can SMS me on 0044 78 00 00 80 66. I'll be here every week. You ask the questions, I give the answers. You make the arguments, I make the rebuttals. George Galloway, join me. You'll enjoy the debate, I promise. And I'm a man that keeps his promises. Here's an SMS coming up on the comment wall. This one is from Lagos in Nigeria. Good day, George. I'm not saying all Muslims are terrorists, but do you believe 100% terrorists around the world are Muslim? Other countries of the world are busy developing in technology. Yours only learning how to destroy. Tell them they're going backwards. Use your TV program judiciously. Tell Tehran to desist from encouraging Hamas against Israel. Tehran can't fool the world. See how Muslims are killing fellow Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan, even in the mosque. What are you people fighting for? You can't fight for God, only God can fight for you. Islam is a religion of peace, but you people have turned it violent. God will forgive you all because you have turned your program to a pro-Hamas program. You are not helping matters. Let them know what they are doing is bad with Tehran? Well, it depends on your definition of terrorist. I'm not sure that the Tamil Tigers are Muslims. I'm not sure that the PKK in Turkey are Muslims. I'm not sure that George Bush and Tony Blair were Muslims when they unleashed the horrific shock and awe bombardment of Iraq in an act of international terror that has killed a million people, and so on and so on. It all depends on your definition, my dear friend in Nigeria, of terrorist. But you've got one or two problems in Nigeria yourselves. Perhaps you ought to take a look closer to home. Now, we've got a telephone call from one of our friends, Farah, in the United Arab Emirates.
George, assalamu alaikum. Farah here from
UAE. Happy New Year, Farah. Go ahead.
You are my hero. You are, we love you, only next to Muqtada Azeri, because what he has done, he's earned more respect. But we love what you're doing. We appreciate it. God bless you. I just want to say to all the people listening all over the world that this is the time. Our leaders have failed us. Please, if you can't get out of the street, write emails to the newspapers, get in there, express yourself, and make sure that at least we say what we mean. And I support all the Muslims and all the people in the world who stand for humanity. God bless the Gazans, and I love you, John. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Farah. That's very, very kind of you. And it's worth making the point that most of the people who've been on these demonstrations every day in London have not been Muslims. There have been many Muslims, but many non-Muslims too. And that's very, very important. And on Saturday in London, in the big demonstration to Trafalgar Square from the embankment, you'll find many, many Muslims, but many, many non-Muslims. This Palestine issue can transcend this division, and it's important that we do so. Well, we're talking about Gaza, we're talking about Palestine, talking about anything that you care to write in about, and we've got an email coming on the board now. Let's see where it's from and what it's about. It's from Hamid, and it says, Mr. Galloway, your opinion about Obama is wrong. This is his quote when he visited Sderot town in Israel and gave a green light to the Zionist crimes we witness today. I will work from the moment that I return to America to tell the story of Sderot and to make sure that the good people who live here are enjoying a future of peace and security and hope. If somebody was sending rockets into my house where my two daughters sleep at night, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that, and I would expect Israelis to do the same thing. Of course, Hamid, when he made that comment, he was not the president-elect of the United States. Now he is the president-elect of the United States. He cannot make a comment, at least one that contradicts the president of the United States. That's constitutionally impossible. So please, we have lots of time to be let down by Barack Obama. We may very well be profoundly let down by him. But let's not talk ourselves into being let down by him before he even has had a chance to let us down. Now we've got Richard from Chester on the telephone who wants to talk about the United Nations. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on the line.
Welcome.
It's sort of a question slash statement, really. The Western media, they don't portray the full story. And, I mean, if you think about, is it 150 UN resolutions passed which have been vetoed by the United States on issues on Israel? And the Western media, they try and pursue it as a balanced conflict where you've got a nuclear superpower versus sort of homemade rockets. And they show it as a balanced debate, if at all. Why is that?
Well, Richard, you make a very powerful point. This is a contest between Goliath and David. And Goliath is armed to the teeth by the United States and by the United Kingdom. And he's setting about David as Mike Tyson in a ring with a small toddler of 2 years old. This is a grotesque mismatch. This is the world's most powerful aeroplanes firing the world's most powerful missiles, the world's most powerful warships firing the world's most powerful shells from way out of the firing line where they can't be hit back. This is cowardice. This is mass murder. And Israel has broken more United Nations Security Council resolutions than all of the countries of the world put together. Think. Here's Jamil from London. Another telephone call. Jamil, go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much, George Galloway.
Welcome.
I really appreciate all your efforts and all your struggle and the rest.
Thank you.
You know, actually, I'm a student of international relations, and I take my time to follow up the situation in Gaza, and then you are one of the people that make the rest of the world to understand that what is going on in Gaza is not a war, but it's a massacre, and it's a genocide that the whole world. We are opening our eyes and looking at the situation that is going on. Because I've never seen any country in the world. I tried to do my research, read all over again, looking at the situation in South Africa before, during the time of the apartheid, that 1.5 million people were being condoned in a particular area because there is overseas crossing that are being blockaded by the Israel, and the seventh one is being blockaded by the Egypt. And these people are being confined in this place.
Jamil, we've got your point, and I'm grateful for it. You better attend to that child that's seeking your attention there, because your point is a very powerful one. 1.5 million people are crammed into a tiny area. It's one of the world's most densely populated patches of earth on the entire planet. It's surrounded on all sides by water, patrolled by the Israeli Navy, by the Egyptian regime on its southern border, and on all other sides by the Israeli occupation of Palestine. There are only two entrances and exits, one controlled by Israel and the other controlled by Egypt, which is in turn controlled by Israel and the United States. These people are in the biggest concentration camp on the earth. They were starving. And they were dying. Let's go quickly to an email if we've got time. From Rob, I'm appalled by the lack of real facts and big misconceptions about many things as revealed in the words of all your many callers, and indeed you, the moderator. As I observed, there are major similarities of misleading but parochial timeline information among the Arab leaders in your media. On the current conflicts, I would advise that those who live in glass houses should not throw stones. Peace is achievable if you could demonstrate to stop the rocket firing. Arabian hatred and lack of unity will not do them any good. It's time you think, it's time you change for the better. Well, we were determined to squeeze that one in because we want all points of view here. Well, it's been a marvelous show, and if you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed presenting it, you'll join us again next week at the same time here on Comment on Press TV. Don't forget The Real Deal with me on Sunday nights at 8:06. And you can catch me on the radio too, Talk Sport, every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till 1. Keep it Press TV. We tell the truth, fair and balanced. Not like Fox.